There is so much in this world that seems to divide us, and yet we need to remember that there are so many things that bring us together. In the back of our hymnal, we have things that we call affirmations of faith. They're things that we believe that unite us. And so I invite you to stand as we share together today in an affirmation of faith based on the book of 1 Timothy. So please stand and join with me responsively. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Jesus Christ, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. You may be seated. If anybody ever tries to tell you that we don't know what we believe, we do, and it ties us together. Well, so as we prepare for scripture today, I want to just simply tell you today is the culmination of our sermon series on grateful, and today it is grateful for the church. It turns out that people who are grateful, who have an attitude of gratitude, are actually healthier and happier, and so today we're going to name the place that makes us grateful, in particular, the church. And so I invite you to listen as Cheryl comes forward and shares with us words from Paul in the book of Ephesians as he expresses his gratitude to them.
Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So as I said, we are continuing our sermon series on grateful. And we're doing so looking today through the lens of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And I want you to see why it is that he is grateful to this church. He says, since I heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. Paul is not thanking the church at Ephesus for giving him money, although he does thank churches for that other places. He doesn't thank them for having, you know, doing things for him. He thanks them for two things, for their faith in the Lord and their love for all God's people. And if you wonder what the church should be doing and how we should be church, there you have it right there, faith in the Lord and loving all, not just some, but all of God's people. You see, church has been on my mind a lot lately. We confirmed a class of young people last night who joined the church, who proclaimed their faith and chose to join the church. But there's been more than that in my world lately. And as y'all know, Andy's mom a few weeks ago fell and hit her head unexpectedly, which caused a life-ending brain bleed. And we were with her for those 8 days of vigil. And during that time, Andy was there pretty much 24/7, and I would spell him some. And I would come to church in between, and that was helpful just to be back around some normalcy. But around day 5 of this vigil, I was set to lead worship at Benton House here in Blue Springs, something we do once a month. And I thought, I still want to do that. And so I got there, and Nancy Baker in our church plays the piano. Alice Nathan in our church sings for these group of people that gather. And they're usually about 25 or 30 people that gather. And some are in wheelchairs, but many are moving around on their own. And I shared with them as we were sitting there, I said, I'd like to sing a song about heaven. And so I just put it out there, and somebody said, let's sing When We All Get to Heaven, one of the people in back. And Nancy was able to just play it like that, and they started singing. And those 25 or 30 voices were singing louder than I'd ever heard them sing before. And they surrounded me with this beautiful song about when we all get to heaven, so that when I went back to Andy's mom's bedside, I just had been lifted up and encouraged so much. And then she did make it to heaven on that Saturday. And Saturday night I came to church, and we again got to sing songs about the saints. And that nourished my soul, and people were so kind and caring to me. And Andy was exhausted because he'd been up for 8 days and nights pretty much. And I said, you've got to come to church Sunday just for you. And he came to church and was in the service, and there were songs about saints, and people were giving him hugs and love, and it soothed his soul. And then when our kids came to town and we all went down to Nevada United Methodist Church, which was June's home church, that church surrounded us, and it was a beautiful community. The service was beautiful. Our own Steve Cox drove all the way down there to help assist with the service along with the pastor in Nevada. And we were so touched, and we got back, and there was a hot meal for our family from this church. And from the beginning to the ending of the process and beyond, we've been surrounded by love. And the church has been on my mind and my heart lately. I want to contrast that with a phone call we got in the church office. It was probably towards the beginning of this process with Andy's mom. And somebody called because there had been a difficult death in their family. And they were just calling a church because they needed to talk to a pastor. And so Jan took that call, and she spoke, and she prayed with that person. And I'm so glad we were able to be there for them in that moment of emergency. But I want you to hear the contrast, too. We had people walking with us every step of the way. Somebody else had to pick up a phone and make a cold call to a church they didn't know to talk to a pastor they didn't know for a prayer that they knew they needed. And I'm glad we could be there for them, but do you hear the difference? Because when we are church, then we're living our faith in the Lord, and we're living our love all the time. And so when those places hit, we're able to be church for one another throughout that. You don't have to just take my word for it. I've got a couple of video segments from an amazing young couple, and I want you to listen in this first segment for what church is and what church meant to them and means to each of us. Do you hear that witness? When they were starting out, the one thing that they knew they needed was a community, a faith community, and they found one. And that community supported and upheld and uplifted them. And then the end of it, what Megan said, and now we can be that for somebody else. You see, the church is a place where you come and you get lifted up, and then you do that for other people too, and we keep doing that. And isn't that why we are so grateful to God for the church? Paul continued in his letter to the Ephesians to say this about the church: Christ's body, the church, that's us, Christ's body, the church, is the fullness of Christ who fills everything in every way. You see, we are Christ's body. We are made up of frail and flawed human beings who sometimes get it right and sometimes get it wrong, and we are the body of Christ. And our job is not to fill the world with the church. Our job is to fill the world with Christ as we fill one another with Christ. And there's this wonderful economy in the church where the more that we give, the more that we receive. And in God, it all becomes something beautiful and powerful. It is a joy to serve this church. It is a joy to get to be with you during the different phases of your life, different phases of my life. It's a joy to be Christ's body with you, because we share together in something that is more powerful, more beautiful than any of us on our own. That happens when we come together as Christ's body. There are many ways that we share in this body of Christ. You've already seen the gifts of volunteers with our Power Praise Kids Choir. You have seen the gifts of volunteers with our band and the wonderful music they share with us. And you've been greeted and welcomed by people. You've maybe had a cup of coffee or a donut provided by somebody. Your children may be down in a Sunday school class taught by somebody. There are all sorts of different ways that people have already prepared this place for you before you even got here. But even beyond that, there are other ways to be a part of the church. And I want to invite you to listen to Megan and Clayton. For such young people, they have so much to teach me, to teach all of us. So I invite you to hear how they've engaged even more in the church. I was really tempted just simply to play the entirety of that interview with Megan and Clayton and call it a sermon. There is such power in what they had to share. Their experiences, I hope you heard this, they are a young couple starting out. I am convinced, by the way, that restaurants and everyone have it wrong with their senior discounts, because seniors, once the kids are out of the house and you're on your own, you know, we're okay, but it's the young people. We need college student discounts. We need young couple discounts. We need young family discounts. We definitely need parents of college student discounts. But all the different challenges, well, that young couple is right in the thick of it, and yet generosity transformed them. And you hear they're consciously making choices about where they shop for food, about where they shop for clothing, not, oh, because we've got to save money to make a really big nest egg, but if they shop at Aldi's, which is a great place to shop, I shop there too, but if they shop at Aldi's, then maybe they can feed somebody who's hungry with the extra money. And if they buy a little bit less expensive or a little bit less stuff, then what can they give away? And even in their career, did you hear Clayton talk about, as he is moving up and advancing, that it's not, oh goody, I get more stuff for myself. It's, wow, how much more will I be able to give away? Isn't that powerful? You know, they didn't talk about their relationship in this video, but I can tell you just from seeing this, that they're doing great. What's the number one stressor in relationships? Money. Well, they're working together on money. They are together enjoying the gift of giving, of generosity, and it's making them stronger spiritually and stronger as a couple. Their witness is so powerful to us. So today we are at the one-year anniversary of a two-year generosity initiative called We Are More. If you were here last year, you remember that we truly, deeply believe that our children, our young people, have a great future in God's house, in God's ministry, in serving the Lord, and we want them to be free to serve in whatever way God has called them to serve, like the confirmands we had here last night. And so we are committed to reducing the debt so that they don't have to bear that burden, so that they can just be free to move forward in ministry. And that's what we set our sights on last year. We've made some great progress towards that. You received a letter a couple of weeks ago telling you details about that. And so today is simply a time to pause, to thank God for what we have already been able to do, and to consider if God is asking you to do something. You received a blue card. So 1 year commitment renewal. And there are two different options. Neither one would be applicable. One is, this is our first commitment to We Are More, which is the two-year generosity initiative. And so over the next 12 months, we commit to making a sacrificial commitment through our generosity in the amount of. So if you have not yet made a pledge, this is the place that you can do that. It'd just be for 12 months. A chance to join in, to help us be more for our children. Then for those of you that have already pledged, it's that second box would be yours. We have already committed to We Are More, and then our pledge amount is, and you fill that in, and then over the next 12 months, we plan to, A, confirm our commitment and finish strong, or increase our commitment to. And if you are feeling God is calling you to increase that in this coming 12 months and go further, this is the chance to record that also. This is important. This is important to the children of our congregation. It's important for our witness as we move forward. And I invite you to take it seriously and to fill it out prayerfully. Some of you, I think, may have already arrived with ones filled out that you put in the offering plate. If so, thank you so much. We will get that to the right place. For all of you, though, if you would like to fill this out, there's an offering plate on a stool in the middle back here, and you may place that there on your way out. I hope you see this opportunity to join in this exciting ministry, to begin to experiment some with what Megan and Clayton have taught us about what generosity can mean with your relationship, to live out the words of Paul, since I heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. Will you pray with me? Oh God, I pray your blessing on each one of us here. And I pray that you work through us and use us to be generous people. For places where we are reluctant to step forward in generosity, I ask that you give us confidence. For places that it feels like a risk, I ask that you give us courage. And God, may we all learn that as we live out this love that you have given us, we truly can do more and be more in you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.